Hello, everybody. Welcome to this episode of Party Like a Marketer, the podcast dedicated to cannabis marketing, public relations, and authentic storytelling. I'm Lisa Buffo, your host and the founder and CEO of the Cannabis Marketing Association. We have an exciting spring and summer coming up for you. We are launching at CMA a new product called Get Cannifax, which is an online subscription for our members only that takes information from scientific studies and translates it into facts and myths, into basically more readable language that you can use in your communications and marketing, specifically to reach the canna curious and the canna averse. And for those of you who are Cannabis Marketing Summit fans or attendees and have joined us in the past, we are moving the in-person event until later in the year, but we are hosting an online 8-part mini-series this May and June and July that's called Ask a Marketer Anything. So we're going to have 8 sessions. I'm going to start with the first one on May 21st, where the speaker will talk about a vertical within marketing, call it SEO or content marketing. We've got compliance and legal. We'll be talking about PR, 280E, brand building, all of these in different sessions. The speaker will talk and give their take on it for about 10, 15 minutes, and then there will be 30 minutes of open Q&A. And those are going to be mostly on Tuesdays. We have one Wednesday session, but mostly on Tuesdays at 4:20 Eastern time, and we'll go until 5 o'clock. You can register for that on our website if you are a CMA member at thecannabismarketingassociation.com. And the first one is open to the public, and that is May 21st, 2024. That being said, if you are interested in engaging with CMA, either as joining as a member, advertising on the podcast, or advertising in our media kit, please reach out to us at membership@marketingcannabis.org, and you can learn more. Now let's jump into today's episode. Today's episode is fantastic. I had a great conversation with Kate Biggs. Kate Biggs is the Senior Director of Ad Sales at LeafLink. She's a seasoned executive and a results-driven leader, and Kate has demonstrated an exceptional ability to lead high-performance sales teams, drive revenue growth, and establish enduring client relationships. With an extensive background in the cannabis industry, working at MSOs such as Acreage Holdings and Curaleaf, Kate brings a strategic, customer-centric approach to the table, leveraging a unique blend of leadership, innovation, and cannabis industry expertise. Let's hear from Kate.
Lisa, so such a pleasure. Thank you.
Yes, I'm very excited to speak with you today. First, could you just introduce yourself to the audience so they can get to know you? Who is Kate? What's your background professionally? How did you get into cannabis? Let's talk to the audience a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm originally from Ireland, which you might pick up as I talk. but I started my career with Irish distillers, who are the brand owners of Jameson Irish Whiskey. And I moved to the US in 2011 to join their US parent group. So I spent like 8 years in a variety of sales leadership roles with them, starting in Las Vegas. So, you know, moving from Ireland to Las Vegas to learn to sell alcohol was quite a baptism of fire, which is fair to say, but something that I loved. And that experience really taught me the importance of having a really strong sales team and, you know, working with a really strong distributor partner. And, you know, throughout my time with Pernod Ricard, I really got extensive experience in working with those distributor partners. And when I relocated to San Francisco, I just consistently heard from cannabis brands about the challenges that they were facing in terms of selling in California. So it made me realize that I could take some of my experience from the wine and spirits industry and help some of these cannabis brands, you know, with their go-to-market strategy. And you know,
what year was that?
Say again?
What year was that you went
2019.
To 2019? Okay.
Yeah. So the appeal for me as well is like, I really wanted to learn like a new industry and learn from the legacy growers and operators that had been in the industry, you know, since day one. You know, I think in the cannabis industry, there's so many entrepreneurial spirits, and I really thrive like working with those kind of like-minded people. So that's how I got into it. I worked for Acreage Holdings and Curaleaf, selling to dispensaries, their key accounts in California. And that's when I came across like LeafLink. I was just hearing from these dispensaries about the challenges that they would, you know, face every day, like inventory management, category management, cash management, just the basics of getting the right product at the right time. And, you know, I saw LeafLink were really trying to like streamline that whole, you know, cannabis supply chain process. And I thought, okay, this company is really going to make an impact on the industry for the better and you know, really streamline these operators' lives. So that's what attracted me to LeafLink. In June, I've been here 3 years and I've led the go-to-market sales team, and we've sold everything from the marketplace to our logistics offering. But in the last year, I've been solely focused and dedicated on selling our ads product, and working with our product team in terms of developing that as well. So it's been like a super, super exciting, exciting time. I can't believe like thinking 2019 was when I first started in cannabis. It feels like yesterday, but like it was a while ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially with the pandemic happening since then. So can you talk a little bit about the ads product, and was that built like in response to everything that LeafLink's customers had experienced from the retail issues to the inventory management? Like what was kind of the evolution of that, or was it part of the plan? And
yeah, you know,
so your experience there was kind of applicable. Like how did that come to be?
Yeah, so we launched LeafLink Ads in 2019, and you know, we had so much in our operating strategy and plan, in terms of our focus of selling financial services products, selling our logistics products. And last April, we made the decision to really drill down and get super focused on our what we were offering, a tech offering to help streamline the industry. So we just doubled down on our focus for selling ads, and we increased, you know, the sales team from 2 dedicated individuals on ads to currently it's 4 today. And we hired a really, really talented product manager with experience from GoPuff and Amazon. And he's been able to help us evolve the product roadmap. And I think, you know, what we've heard from customers over the last 12 months also has massively influenced the strategy and the ads offerings that we have, because we're just basically building things that they're asking for.
Yeah.
And help achieve the goals that they have. Yeah.
Yeah, I understand that. We do something similar at CMA, where our content and what we're producing is in direct response to the questions that our members ask us in relation to what are their marketing struggles and whatnot. And that's, I feel like that is very much so a theme of this industry, is it just evolves and grows at such rapid pace. And as of this week of recording, we got the possible news about rescheduling. Like things are just, they're changing quickly, and you have to be able to respond and adapt in real time. So that's really cool. And that makes sense.
Yeah.
So can you provide a little bit of an overview of what those unique challenges are? Like what were the customers saying? And what are those opportunities when it comes to B2B marketing?
Yeah, for sure. So a really welcomed challenge that I've observed over the last 12 months is the education piece. Some of the user personas that we talk to are heads of marketing, heads of digital marketing, but not all of them have that background. Like we're talking to operators that are wearing many, many hats, managing sales, managing distribution, managing HR. So there is a bit of that component of education that we need to bring to them when we speak with them. And we also want to use their time like really, really wisely, because we know that they're, you know, wearing the many hats. So what we really encourage people to do is look at their CAC, like their customer acquisition costs, and advise them on where their marketing dollars, you know, essentially are best spent. And like, you know, in the industry, you got to really strike the balance between field marketing and digital marketing. So like with the latter, with digital marketing, advertising effectively, you know, your ROI is higher and more measurable, right? And we have to do a bit of our education around how to balance that. I see, you know, huge value in field marketing as well. You know, when I was selling on the ground in California, there was a huge presence of that in the dispensaries I was visiting, but it's just very time consuming, not very cost effective, and you know, it's difficult to measure. So then another piece that we have to a challenge that we have is we have to educate people around the difference between B2B and B2C. So like while our CPC cost per click is higher in B2B advertising than it would be to B2C, we do have to remind our brands that the average order value they're going to get from a B2B order is much higher than it is to a B2C order. And then we also look and advise people and have to remind them that, okay, the long-term value of your dispensary, you know, a customer, purchasing customer is also much higher than say an end consumer in B2C. And I think what I really love about some of the brands and customers that we talk to, like they're always willing to test and learn, but we have a challenge is they're like, I only have minimal budget and I just want to test this for 1 month. And we have to do education around, you have to have 3 to 8 interactions with a dispensary buyer before they are willing to make, you know, a purchase or they trust your brand. So like multi-month campaigns are recommended, like a minimum of 3 months. You know, the month is it's okay, but it's not really going to drive the needle. So like if you're really going to spend your dollars, like hold off till you can commit to the 3 month is what we would advise. So also like, you know, the importance of evergreen strategies is a big one. You know, there's a reason why Coke like consistently advertise, yet they're the number one soft drink in their category. So you know, there's some education around that as well. But like we recognize that we've been too consultative with our brands and just provide the insight and the value that we see looking across all brands, marketing strategies nationally and in all states as well.
Yeah, and I appreciate you making the distinction about B2B and B2C, because in this industry for brands in particular, they have to do both. They are selling to retailers to get their products there because that is how they interact with the consumer. And so when they're, because you can't just do, you know, direct from the brand, there's no D2C in this space for licensed products at this point. That is a kind of a longer term marketing thought process, but they're also at its core, different strategies and different ways of thinking about it. But in cannabis, you can't, they are related and they are tied together because the retailer is ultimately where the customer is coming to ask for the product. And, you know, that can be different. There's different retailers, right, that would carry a brand. So they do have to think about both of those and think about their costs in relation. So I appreciate you, first of all, calling that out, because that is a big task that requires a lot of resources that brands just don't have right now. And it's also two completely different thought processes that for one, and I talk with brands and retailers a lot, and they, like you said, they don't necessarily have a head of marketing, or they don't necessarily have one person dedicated to just strategy. And normally in like larger businesses or corporations, they would have someone who's just B2B marketing or just B2C marketing, not, let alone doing both plus all these other business functions and operations. And it's difficult. It's a challenge. So
yeah, I think about like the day and the time that we have in cannabis, the marketeers that like Jemison Irish Whiskey had when I started selling it, like you said, we've dedicated campaigns teams, dedicated digital, dedicated social, like it gets that granular. It's going to be great when we get there, but you know, we've a little ways to go.
We do. Yeah. But we're on the way. Hopefully with rescheduling, if 280 changes, it's a step we haven't had in quite some time. So are there any other differences from B2B and B2C advertising and marketing that you want to speak to that we haven't covered or that you feel is important or you find yourself talking to your customers about?
Yeah, I think we definitely double click on the fact that there's so much restriction around what we can do in terms of marketing cannabis brands, right? And the beauty of, you know, being on a B2B platform like LeafLink is that you essentially know that it is a marketplace that it's a private marketplace where we have recruited qualified buyers, qualified brands that go through a compliance process. When you spend on advertising, there's no risk of your advertisements being taken down effectively, which you know, some people have experienced through avenues like Google and whatnot. I think that's one thing that we need to, like, we double click on with people. Like, there's the you will see the ROI here, and there will be no risk of things being taken down from a like regulations perspective.
Yeah, it's a container essentially for exactly who that end customer is, which are those buyers. So that makes sense. Okay. And then what other strategies does LeafLink employ or do you employ when you're trying to reach a targeted audience within the cannabis industry? So I know you said, you know, B2B and you have buyers on the system, but are there other B2B audiences and what are other strategies that you use?
Yeah. So I think you probably know this, but I want to make sure that the audience knows this. Like, LeafLink is the largest community of licensed operators in the US. So we have over 12,000 retailers and brands, like cannabis companies as a whole across 30 markets on the platform. So like, we're consistently adding more and, you know, trying to increase the penetration of each state. So just, it's just more of a captive audience. So to say that we have that captive audience is really, you know, an understatement. So specifically, like, our ads with CPC, so like our cost per click ads and keyword and category word search, we are ensuring that we're serving those ads to the right purchasing managers at the right time, like specific to exactly what they're looking for. So like, if they're looking for, you know, a flower, or if they're looking for a specific brand, and you've bid on that keyword search, your brand will be served to that retailer. So we know that they're prime for purchasing something as they're actively searching for it. And then our ad server, which delivers these ads, also is taking into consideration the retailer's shopping habits and what they have purchased before. So it's really, really getting very, very smart about ensuring that our retailers get exactly what they want served to them when they want it served. We are currently beta testing targeting as well, in which we will reserve an ad to a specific user group, whether it's retailers in a specific zip code, retailers within a specific chain, retailers that haven't ordered from this specific brand in 90 days, or whatever the brand has asked us to target in on. We're currently beta testing that, which just gives us the power to just pull more levers and get really, really, you know, specific about getting in front of that targeted audience.
That makes sense. So it's you can drill down even more within. Mm-hmm. And do you also know, when you say 12,000, how much that represents of the total market of retailers? I know it's kind of a, just for the audience, so they have kind of a sense.
I know we have like 51% market share of the total brands and retailers across nationally. Yeah.
Cool. So that makes sense. Okay. And then what are some other ways to maximize effectiveness? Like, there's the different strategies and the different personas and, you know, sort of the strategic, conceptual high level of how, but also what are the different ways to make it better, maximize mm-hmm. it?
Yeah. Yeah. So we really encourage brands to think about what are the goals they have for the campaign and just be really specific about that. So are they building brand awareness in a totally new market? Or are they trying to cross promote a new product category that they've just launched? Like, for example, they might be really strong in vape and they've just launched gummies, but, you know, they want to get that in front of their existing retailer base. And then another question that I always ask them is like, how important is it to you to increase your average order value with existing dispensary partners? Because a lot of people might be focused on like securing net new retailers.
Yeah.
But I always encourage people, like, if you can get your tier B accounts, dispensaries, classified as tier A based off of the volume that they're ordering or the number of products and SKUs that they carry, like that's just going to do so much for your business. You know, when I think about when I worked in wine and spirits, you know, the top 20% of our accounts did 80% of our business. So you taking that tier B to tier A is so, so important. And like just being focused on net new accounts, you know, it's you're kind of wearing, you know, blinders, right? I think you should increase the value of those accounts. So basically we ask them to determine those goals, and then our team are pretty consultative about, okay, what are the best combination of ads that you guys should run within your campaign to achieve brand awareness, increasing average order value, getting net new retailers, or, you know, getting new products in front of people. So yeah, that's effectively number one. And this is a really, the next one's a really obvious one, but it's just a key component for success is making sure that your menu on LeafLink is updated and is reflecting the best that your brand has to offer. So like, you know, the retailers trust your menu to be correct and accurate, and you should rely on your menu to articulate your brand story, articulate the correct pricing, your inventory as well must be accurate. So we ensure that advertisers, you know, get some time with our account managers to review their menu and make sure that they are putting their best foot forward before they even start advertising, to ensure that they get the most, you know, ROI out of it. Another piece is like being really thoughtful about your creative. So we make recommendations on what like best in class creative looks like. And it's important like to include a call to action within your creative, whether it's like learn here more now, or if you're running a promotion, like call out the fact that you have a promotion. And then the fourth piece is, I think this is just so, so important. It requires a bit of work on the brand side, but it's to really utilize the ads insights platform that we give you access to when we set up your campaign. We are completely and fully transparent about the success metrics that we're looking at to measure the success of your campaign. And we give you access to that. And it looks at like your impressions, your click-through rates, the retailers that have engaged with your ad, clicked on it, but not necessarily have ordered. And you can share that information with your sales and marketing team. So it's almost like a warm lead list. And yeah, your sales and marketing team have to do a little bit of work and look at the data, but it's really, really powerful. So, you know, make our ads offering an extension of your sales team is what I tell people by utilizing this data.
Yeah, it sounds like even us, it's like we use HubSpot, right? So we are B2B as well, very similar, but when you do even things like your newsletter, right? It has the same type of capability where you can see who's opened it. You can see who's clicked on things and you can see how they have engaged. And that is exactly what marketing is supposed to do, which is create the top of funnel for sales to pick up and kind of bring it down as you get to see and measure what is the interest, what is the engagement. And then based on that, how hot might that lead be? And what type of content are they interested in? What are they engaging with? Is that, you know, speaking to something? That's an insight that the sales team can use. So I'm glad you called out like how those things relate together, because that's how it should be used. And everything you've just said too, also, when I hear that, these are like the same conversations I have with dispensary marketers on the B2C side. It's how do you increase the average order value? How do you increase that customer loyalty? How do you show them new products they haven't seen before, but that they might be interested based on their past buying history? Mm-hmm. Those things are related in terms of the concepts and the strategies, even though it is a different persona in terms of their needs and what they're purchasing for and how they're purchasing it. But even you speaking to the 80-20 rule, like that's just, that applies in all different areas of life too, right? Yeah, it's like known as, what is it, Pareto's law. It applies in business, it applies in work and effort and all these different ways. So I thank you for mentioning those and calling that out, because those are very relevant on both the B2C and the B2B side, as well as with how marketing and sales tie together. So do you have any specific case studies you can speak to of successes and what that looks like? Like, I like talking strategically and conceptually, but also what does that look like in practice?
Yeah, definitely. We have, so we have a good few, but the most recent one on the top of mind for me is Tribe Collective in Oklahoma.
Which is a very competitive market.
A very competitive market.
One of the hardest. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really, really proud of what Tribe have been able to do. You know, they initially experienced a huge amount of success launching and on LeafLink and leveraging the marketplace to become a leading brand in Oklahoma. But they recognized, okay, we've just got to like up the ante here. So their goal to increase like growth was they wanted to attract new customers, and they also wanted to engage those customers that hadn't made purchases in the last 90 days. And it was, you know, it was a thorn in my side when I was selling for Curaleaf is, you know, when we would have stockouts on the shelf of the dispensary and couldn't get the reorder for the monthly, you know, on a monthly 30-day basis, but it would extend out to like 60-90. And this was the same thing that, you know, Tribe were looking for and were trying to prevent. They recognized the importance of, okay, net new retailers, but again, engaging consistent reorders as well. So they realized like they needed to make a, you know, pretty strategic shift in their marketing and customer engagement. So they engaged us on ads, and what they'd done was like taken a twofold approach essentially to their advertising campaign. They did a featured brand ad campaign, and then a retail dashboard campaign. The featured brand is on our shop brands page. And that's where your retailer will go to search for and shop on brands. And then the dashboard page is, it's like it's a banner ad on, the first page that a retailer will log into when they log into the platform. It's almost like the control center of, their account. So they essentially, did the two-pronged approach, and, they wanted to make sure that they were, you know, bringing in, like I said, net new retailers, but also re-engaging the people that hadn't ordered in about 90 days. So after like a 6-month campaign with us, they were able to re-engage 36 clients. They added 11 net new retailers, and you know, this helped their GMV massively and increase, you know, their revenue.
That's GMV.
Oh yeah, gross merchandise value is how we, you know, classify revenue on the and orders on the platform essentially. So you know, they did all the right things, right? They were very thoughtful about their goals. They were very thoughtful about their creative. They had their menu optimized correctly. They advertised in two different types of spots on the platform, and then they were actively looking at that data insights portal and, you know, monitoring their success. So for us, when somebody goes 6 months advertising, has these type of results, says, yeah, look, we're ready to reload, you know, that's a huge win for us. And that's the type of, you know, engagement and commitment we encourage other brands to do, right? Because, you know, it doesn't happen overnight or in the first month, but it happens when you're committed to it for a multi-month campaign.
Yeah, very much so. It does take that. So, and it sounds like they also went through the checklist of things you've already mentioned as best practice, like be in multiple different places, understand your goals, understand who and what the persona is, and, you know, that you're putting those ads where they are and based on what they need, and that there's a call to action, it's clear, and that they took the time 6 months to be able to test it, see it, and look at the data. I'm guessing, based on what you said, over those 6 months, that they could look at the data and start to optimize a little bit over that and get the results that they wanted because they were measuring it.
Yeah, they're very shrewd operators and marketeers as well. They rolled out all the right things.
That makes sense. Yeah, I love hearing those stories. And I also want to get your thoughts on storytelling and how that relates in marketing. It's something we talk about on this podcast a lot, that, and certainly in the early days of the industry, you know, as an industry, we sort of have this responsibility to talk about what is cannabis? How does it help people? But now that we're getting more to a place where it's a little bit more accepted, it's really important for brands to be able to say, here's why I'm different, or here's what makes this product maybe a nuance in how it was manufactured or some element of the product that makes it a little bit different than its competitor, or, you know, what makes it better in that brand's mind. But it's hard to do that when you're talking about display ads and, you know, banner ads where you only have so much space and it's okay, it's a little bit on a screen and, you know, click here to learn more. So how do you weave storytelling in when, like you said, these buyers are like they're shrewd buyers, right? They know they're purchasing banners for retailers. They have a good sense of what's out there and whatnot. How do you view storytelling, first of all, in B2B marketing, but also how do you kind of advise or coach on it in that sense within, well, just yeah. in general, but also, I guess, within the platform?
Yeah, I think the storytelling is integral for any business, any packaged goods business, right? And we encourage brands to ensure their menus are up to date in terms of company and then product description before they even start advertising, because where a retailer is going to go learn more about your brand after they see the ad is click through straight to your menu, and that's your opportunity to tell your brand story. Our banner ads placements for brands like visually allow you to make an impact and tell the story. But like you said, there's only so much real estate on that banner ad, right? And then when you think about like our CPC, the cost per click, you know, category and keyword search ads, it's just that little bit harder to tell the story when you're trying to capture that retailer in that moment when they're ready to purchase. But without giving too much away, we do plan to explore an option to offer shoppable video format that allows brands to promote their products through video on LeafLink to drive more retailer education, engagement, and then awareness as well behind that brand. And I think that's when you're going to really see the ability to tell your brand story in an ad format on LeafLink. And where the idea came up for that is essentially like as a sales rep, like when you're in there, you're articulating, telling that brand story and telling people what the bud tenders, the purchasing managers, what's unique about their brands, and like how do we bring that on platform, you know, and make it a really, really scalable kind of education piece for the industry and for these brands to get that brand story out there. So exciting things to come in terms of storytelling with your brand on ads, LeafLink in the latter half of this year.
Yeah, and that's awesome because video does allow you some creative freedom, and mm-hmm. it's standard across, well, engagement on social media, right? Even Instagram, like everything is prioritizing video. But I know when I shop online, whether it's for a dress or a blender or something, you can literally watch the video that shows you, look at it from 360 angle, look at how it looks and how it moves, or this is how the product works. And those things can actually make the difference of, I think I know what this might do or what it's like or what this company is. And, oh, I can actually see myself buying that. And that does look like a fit. And I like what I'm seeing, and take that a curious buyer a step forward, but allow the brand control of the narrative and just a different format to be able to tell it when you can only do so much in words and creative space. So that's really exciting.
Yeah, we're excited about it.
Nice. Okay. And then, so we've talked about storytelling. We've talked about strategy. We've talked about some of the nuances in B2B, B2C, and compliance, but ultimately success comes down to being able to measure it and define it. So what are some of the metrics that you use to measure the success of B2B cannabis marketing? And also if there's any that you would say are, I don't want to say vanity metrics, but it's kind of like on social media, right? Some people are like, oh, I have however many followers, but if you don't have engagement, like what are those followers worth? So what are the success metrics? And then are there any where you would say, you know, this might be important, but you want to look a little deeper into what that actually means or what that story is?
Yeah. So this came up from our customers. You know, they were saying that they advertise B2B, but they were not really clear on the ROI and didn't feel that there was a lot of transparency from the particular provider they were advertising on. So, you know, our data team, as I mentioned, we have this insights portal that we give to advertisers to basically, you know, see all of the metrics that we use to measure their campaign. And, you know, the team, the data team have really, really evolved its robustness over the last 9 months based off of like that feedback that we've heard. And we just want to give people full transparency, right? Now, there's so many metrics in there that we look at. And to slice and dice the data. But in my opinion, the following are like the most important, right? So like, you know, your impressions, if your goal is brand awareness, you want to know how many eyeballs are on your advertisement, right? So impressions is great, but like, you know, the example you use on Instagram, like followers are good, but like how engaged are they in your content? It comes down to in advertising sales, it's clicks, like how many retailers are engaged or have clicked on the ads. We measure that also. Another component is like how many retailers are actually purchasing from your ad. You know, is it demonstrating effectiveness of the campaign by them, you know, purchasing and spending money towards the advertisement? And then not just the number of retailers, but like, what are they spending? What is the ads attributed order value, like AOV, that they're spending? And that's a really important metric to look at as well when you're looking at somebody who's already an existing dispensary partner and they order from you on a monthly basis, but they've ordered this month after an advertisement and you've noticed like, okay, your AOV is higher. Why is that? It's because you're advertising a specific product or SKU, or they've picked up a SKU that they've never carried before. So that's another metric to look at. And then I think I referenced this earlier on in our conversation, but new retailers are exceptionally valuable. Re-engaged retailers in the last 90 days, also exceptionally valuable, but getting your retailer to increase their AOV is what takes your tier B account to your tier A. You know, they're going to drive more revenue for you. So we give you the ability to measure and look at the AOV that you're getting from that retailer. And then, you know, who's re-engaged after a certain amount of time. And I always encourage people as well is like to look at the, we call it LTV, but the long time value of a retailer, like a net new retailer. You know, you might get one net new retailer in your first month of advertising, but like you need to look at them over the next 6 months. If whether you continue to advertise or you stop advertising, the value they bring, and if they're recurringly ordering from you across that 6 month period after the first engagement that has been driven by a Leaflink ad, that you got to use that when calculating your ROAS, your return on ad spend. You know, you invested in, say, January, and the revenue kept coming from this customer, you know, the following 6 months, 12 months, whatever it may be. So I think they're the most important metrics. We have an incrementality metric as well that allows you to look at, like, you know, the SKU level that people are ordering. And it allows you to identify, okay, is this the first time this the dispensary buyer has ordered a SKU from me, which is really valuable. Like I mentioned, like if you've launched a new SKU or if you have always been a really strong player in vape and you've just launched gummies, and you can see, you know, that new product category starting to make a move with you know, existing dispensary partners, that's a really good one to look at.
And do you say that within a brand or as a category as a whole? So like if you're a vape company and you release gummies and retailers start ordering gummies from you, that's, well, obviously that's a good sign, but you mean that within a brand, not just as a category whole. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, cool. Let's see, anything else we haven't mentioned in terms of metrics or measuring ROI on those ads? I mean, You've said all the things that I would.
Yeah, it's quite a few. I would probably open up the reporting that, you know, the brand sees today and be like, oh, wait, this one too. You know, yeah. There's so much in there. So I would encourage anyone who's listening and is a Leaflink advertiser, like dive into it, into the reporting that we provide you. And if there's one that I haven't mentioned that you really, really like, please let us know and I'll make sure to double click on that as well.
Nice. Okay, cool. And then tell me if this applies to you, because I know you've already mentioned that on the B2B side, and you are a contained, you know, you're not a public facing marketplace, right? This is B2B that we're talking about within cannabis. How you stay compliant and also how you coach your brands with staying compliant, because they are, you know, putting content and advertising and marketing materials within this ecosystem. But I would imagine perhaps, maybe, I could be wrong, correct me on this, that some of that content might also be used for B2C, or at least that creative could be repurposed or put towards B2C. So can you just speak to some of the compliance, advertising compliance perspective that are important in relation to the platform and B2B conversation, and also how Leaflink as a brand and you in sales stay on top of that, given that it is changing in different states and things like that. Like people's packaging can change in Colorado, and like what happens if they still have those units on your system? How do you approach that?
Yeah, so we're really, really fortunate in which we have a dedicated lead on public policy and a dedicated compliance team. So like we really rely on that team to keep us up to date on any regulatory changes that need to be made as it pertains to advertising. And they'll just keep myself and then our ads product leader informed. We don't actually have too many scenarios in which brands will like tell us that the creative is going to be repurposed for B2B. So it's really the onus is on them. They know that being on Leaflink, it's a private marketplace and everybody's a licensed provider. So they know that there's, you know, no regulatory risk to any of the advertisements that they are placing. But if they, you know, take them off platform and use them in any other B2C capacity, we don't really have a whole lot of visibility to that, and it's really on the brand to make sure that they're compliant. But I rely on my internal team here to guide us.
Yeah, and that's good advice for everybody in marketing in this space, because there is just so much, there's so much content with that, and there's so much to be aware of that it does take a very dedicated lens and process around compliance to make sure you're not missing anything, because there is a lot. And marketing in this space is such a big definition. It's packaging, it's labeling, it's right. Branding, it's storytelling, it's their events, it's everything. So there's a lot to be aware of.
And like you said, like it's ever evolving, right? You know, it's changing all the time. So it's something that people need to be really diligent about.
Yeah. And until we have national standards that at least set a baseline, I mean, we sort of informally are we sort of do, but we don't at the same time, right? There's some universal rules we know you from the B2C side, right? You can't make health claims, you can't advertise to children, but there isn't a origin document anywhere that says this is what applies to everybody across the board, even though there are these themes and a lot of them are similar, which just there's just more to know. You also have to go to more sources. So given that, you sounds like you've been in the space a while, you've seen the product evolve, you've seen, you know, how things were in alcohol, now you see how things are in cannabis. What do you see for the future in cannabis marketing and advertising, particularly on the B2B side, but also just like, what's your take on it?
Yeah. I really believe in the power of like making our ads offering an extension of your sales team. And I also believe in how important an interaction with a sales rep is, right? Because I was one. You know, I did that job. It's all about them cultivating trusting relationships with the dispensary buyer, helping them with category management, identifying underperforming, you know, brands, and then them making recommendations to swap out the underperforming brands. And, you know, that's really what the really, really, you know, tier A sales rep should be doing. And I see a world in which we put more tech in the hands of these sales reps And also allow them to interact with our ads and basically share them with their decision makers or the dispensary buyers. So like they could use it as a lead gen format that allows them to engage with those retailers, helps them drive leads, helps them with product assortment. Effectively, we just want to use our tech to make these sales reps more intelligent and better partners to their dispensary buyers. So that's something that we're going to explore on the product roadmap this year. I also think there's a world in which where B2B and B2C like advertise or create campaigns together, essentially full integrated 360 advertising campaign that, you know, tackles all strategies of the sales like flywheel, whether it's, you know, at the B2B level and the B2C level. So in terms of how we plan to innovate in relation to this, I just would say, you know, watch this space from LeafLink. That's all I can really say on it. But I'm really excited about that process of like integrating the two, because that's where we really add some power and fuel to you know, brands' marketing strategies.
That's awesome. Yeah. And then, Kate, last question I have for you. What has been your biggest surprise or difference or favorite thing coming from alcohol and now being in cannabis? Like, was there anything that just, this was so new or this was so different or this was so interesting, given that you have deep experience in both spaces?
Yeah. I really just love the people in cannabis because it's so challenging and we are constantly pivoting. These legacy operators in the space, they've just been at it for such a long time. Like, I think we all have this mentality of like us against the world, like we're going to figure this out, and we're going to solve these problems and we're going to band together. That's really what's attracted me to the space and what's kept me in it for, you know, this long. You know, when something's thrown at us, like a change in regulation around packaging, we're like, okay, well, we'll just pivot, right? We'll figure this out. So that's been the biggest thing, I think, and what I've enjoyed mostly about it. And I love to see, you know, our smaller brands like come on the platform and then just have exponential growth within the first 6 months, because it is just not an easy industry to operate in. And when I see that, that's just like so satisfying. That's what kept me in it.
Nice. Thank you for sharing that. Well, is there anything else you haven't said today or want to mention to our audience before we wrap up?
I think if you're a brand and you're listening and you'd like to learn more about LeafLink advertising, please reach out to adsales@leaflink.com. And we'd be more than happy to get, you know, one of our account executives on the line with you guys, and we can explore like an advertising strategy for your brand and the goals that you have. And then also, you know, if you are currently in a LeafLink advertiser, we're really grateful for the partnership, and we're really excited to continue to see your brands grow. We thrive when you guys thrive. So grateful for that.
Well, thank you, Kate. I really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show today.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Such a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you enjoyed this interview, please subscribe to Party Like a Marketer on your preferred podcast platform and follow @CannaMarketing on social media. If you are interested in learning more and joining the Cannabis Marketing Association, or advertising on this podcast or our media channels, please reach out to membership@marketingcannabis.org, or you can visit us at thecannabismarketingassociation.com, where you can subscribe to our newsletter. See you next week.